The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple and as one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I have not been rebellious, nor have I turned backward. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just really recognize you here tonight, that you are the head of your church, and your presence is here, Holy Spirit, in such a great way. Lord, you've brought in these here tonight, Lord God, for a specific reason. It's a divine appointment. And Lord, I just thank you that you're here to meet each and every need. Lord, that you would speak a word through us tonight, Lord God, that would reach to the very heart of those that have attended. But Lord, I just ask that your Spirit would come and just fill each vessel here up to overflowing, that they would not be the same, that they would leave here strengthened, encouraged, charged up, Lord God, excited about you and ready to do great exploits. Lord, I thank you that your power resides in each vessel here tonight. Lord, that there's more than we really know, Lord, or we even realize that you want to do through us and in us. Lord, there's a world out there, Lord God, that desperately needs you. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that these vessels that are here tonight, Lord God, will obey the command and obey the release, Lord God, as you spoke to your disciples and told them to go out and make disciples of the nations. Lord, I thank you that each vessel that's here tonight, Lord, they have their eyes open to those that are around them. They're actually discipling. Lord, that you would give them a word to speak in season to those that are weary around them. Lord, I thank you for those that are gathered here tonight, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that they're special to you, Lord, that they're significant to you. Lord, that they have a stronger purpose, Lord God. And Lord, the enemy that would come and try to accuse them and try to stop them and hinder them, in your name, we rebuke the devourer. We rebuke the things that have come against them in their lives. I thank you, Lord, for strengthening them here, Lord God, tonight, and give them understanding and discernment to be able to leave here, Lord God, and to be able to know the paths, Lord. It says in your word that you'll light up the path before us, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for illuminating their direction. I thank you for this, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, your phone with you, or maybe you've got it memorized like Charles does, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 16. I'm always surprised at, on how the Lord is training all of us in different ways. We could probably get up here and share different things. Well, you know, Lord's teaching me this week or that week. I know last week, those of you were here, we were talking about how to count it all joy when you encounter various trials. Well, Todd had a bunch of trials come his way. And I kept thinking about that lesson because, you give out the word, you're going to get it back, amen? And so it's a great opportunity to experience that in many different forms because these trials came out of nowhere. And I sat there and said, you know what? It says in the Word, count all joy. I just got done preaching that, but I didn't feel very joyful. I had to work at it. I had to realize that the joy is not a human feeling. The joy is an understanding that there's something that God is doing in the midst of this junk that is for the greater good of our lives. And so if you're in a trial, I would just encourage you to get to that place. Now, you can know the word and it says, man, I just don't feel that joyful, but I started to realize that joy is not necessarily a happy thing, because let's face it, the joy of this world and the joy of humanity and the joy of the flesh is finite. It's always comes like because a certain situation is going well. And Americans, if I got money in my pocket, if my bills are paid, or I'm on a vacation, or I'm on a cruise, I got to have joy. That's not the joy of the Lord. It says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so you have to find sometimes and work sometimes and press in sometimes to get a revelation of that. And then you got to work at it. And so those that are gathered here, and I see some new faces here, and I never really know who's coming to this, and that's what makes it so exciting and different every week. But our attitude towards every vessel that comes or person that comes is that you have ministries. You have callings. You have a purpose. You were sent in the earth to do something. And so we want to bring the fivefold and different giftings, and you never know who's going to be here. Sometimes I announce it, sometimes I don't. It's not really important, but it is important to realize that you know that you're going to be equipped for service. And so that's our objective. So just understand that. I don't consider myself a pastor per se. I'm more of a coach than anything, but I don't own anybody, you know? And so I'm always thrilled to see other people minister and see the gifts they're in. It's nice for me to sit down and just drink. Amen? So just know that that's our attitude. So that's the perspective. That's where the Lord is coming out of us, because we recognize that He is the head of His church. And we have to not just say that. We have to demonstrate it. And for years, I've always wanted to see a fivefold thing go on. And I've never, you know, and you kind of go here, is it going to happen here? And you go, is it going to happen here? And you go there and you wait and you wait and you wait and you hope, and you know, there's little glimmers of light here and there, and it just never seems to happen. So finally, at a point in my life where I'm able, and I had this so many years ago, but I had no idea how to implement it because I had so stuck in my head what a church was, I couldn't understand how that would flow. And so finally the Lord just kind of revealed to me, He says, just be a host. Oh, that's easy. And use the relationships that you have. And let everybody be imparted to, so that when they go out there, you'll hear of exploits that they're going out and doing. So I've heard testimonies and things that have been happening out there, healings. There was healings that took place in the parking lot some time ago. That's the Lord doing that. And so what I'm saying that is, have some expectations that when you walk out this door, God's going to use you. And He's going to use you because it's inside you, and you're going to learn through the anointing that's here, that's teaching you. It's not a person, it's the Spirit of God, how to release what's inside of you. And we're going to get into that just a little bit tonight. So let's start reading here. We're going to read 16 through 23, and then I'm going to probably just touch on three verses. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That's Apostle Paul. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, that He may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the deep and intimate knowledge of Him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which He has called you, and how rich in His glorious inheritance is in the saints, His set-apart ones, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. And He has put all things under His feet and has appointed Him the universal and supreme head of the church, which is body and the fullness of Him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of Him who makes everything complete, who fills everything everywhere with Himself. Now, it's interesting, in verse 16, you see here, Apostle Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, you being ministers, and we all have a responsibility to look at this verse and realize that Paul here is not ceasing to give thanks for the Ephesian church, and he's mentioning them in their prayers. That's a directive. That's a directive. When I read that, I'm thinking, what am I doing this? If I've been given a responsibility in my congregation, in a sense, is everybody that I know. It's this tonight, but it's everybody that I know. And so do I take it upon myself? Do I realize it's a responsibility to be able to mention people and mention them in my prayers or however the Lord may direct me? Because see, when you're praying in the Holy Spirit, things come up in your spirit to pray for many times. Sometimes faces come before you. Sometimes something comes before you that you have to deal with. Oh, you remember that person that you didn't like? You go talk to them, or whatever it might be. It's amazing to me how in prayer, when we sit there and actually pick up our job, that things happen in those prayer times. It's a time of revelation. It's a time of direction. And when we know that we're praying for someone or for a situation, we have the confidence and the realization that the Lord is hearing it, not hearing it, but he's going to perform it. Amen. Because he's directing that prayer. So when Paul was making mention of them and praying for them, he is being directed by the Holy Spirit of exactly what to pray. And as we read on here, we're going to see an understanding of what he was actually doing. And it's going to give us insight, because when we read this, it's going to give us insight in our prayers and the way the Lord is directing us towards the people that are around us or even situations. And it's going to become so clear to you and clear to me that that's exactly what he was doing. And the Holy Spirit lays this out before us so that we may not only understand it and read it, but act upon it. Because acting upon and acting on the Word of God is moving in your ministries to bring about a result, a godly result, so that people will have the knowledge of God and turn and repent regardless of what the situation is. Amen? So Paul understood that. Verse 17 says, "For I always pray to the God of Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom." That's interesting the way he says that, the way it's worded, grant you. Now, why wouldn't God grant somebody wisdom? Why is he using that word? And I'm going to tell you why. Because many of you in here have devoted yourself to the Lord and you devoted yourself to your ministries. And, you know, when Paul's saying that he might grant you, it sounds to me like the Father is sitting up there and saying he's praying that God would grant. God grants things. Some things don't just come to us just because he's provided it for us. Sometimes when we engage ourselves in our ministry or our callings and direction, we are granted things. I mean, because, you know, you think about it, just because somebody can drive, you're not going to grant them to have a Ferrari. They may not be able to handle the power. You might grant them a little Volkswagen Bug. Remember those things we drove around years ago that, you know, were... I know you had Volkswagen bus, you know. So, I mean, that understand that word grant really does mean something. Now, why would God grant you or grant me something? It would probably be because we really do want it, in a sense that we want to go for that call. We want to, you know, reach out to the highest thing that we have. We want to run that course. We want it. There's something inside of you, and many of you have this inside of you, where you really want God. You want him so badly that maybe you don't even know how to get it. That's how I feel a lot of times. How do I get this? I know that I want it, but how do I get it? And that fire that's in you is placed in you by Jesus. It's like a coal. And when you praise and you worship God, you start to make a move, it's like wind gets blown on that coal and it ignites. And it gets to a place where that fire starts to burn. And it's not just burning out the stuff that you need to get rid of. It's burning inside you, creating a zeal. The zeal of God consumes you. He is a consuming fire. And to be consumed by God is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. His glory wants to consume things. If he manifested himself here tonight in that dimension, which I'm believing for, by the way, I am believing that this very ground will shake so hard that we just drop down to the ground. The floor is too high. Why not? Why not go for that? Why not make that a prayer? What do I want that? So that, you know, people are gathered here and we're so great? No, because we want it that bad. We want to go out. We love people that much. Because when you're in prayer and when you're interceding and when you're doing these things, if the Lord is truly inside you, love will well up inside you. His kind of love that believes the best of every person. It says that love in 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. You can't put it out.
You can't stop it. Love remains when everything else is gone. And that's how you know you're moving in the flow of the Holy Spirit, because when His love starts to consume you, you know it's Him. You know it's Him because you could look at your very enemies and pierce the darkness that is around them, that is blind to them, and truly love them. See, God is the only one that can look upon the heart. But He can give you insights into people's hearts. And when He gives you insights to people's hearts, that's where the prophetic flow comes from. It doesn't come from any other way. There are people that can move into certain giftings, but I am convinced that the gifts of the Holy Spirit must be accompanied by love. If that is not manifested, if you don't see that fruit, then I would be a little bit cautious about what's coming out. It may be accurate, but if it's not done in love, it's like a clanging cymbal. It sounds good, but it doesn't have any meat behind it. Does that make sense? A spirit, grant you a spirit of wisdom. Now, it seems so strange that, you know, we're talking about spirit of wisdom. I thought we got the Spirit of God, we had the Spirit of God. But, you know, there is a spirit of wisdom. Now, if you look back in Isaiah chapter 11, you see something here that gives us some understanding of some things. And there shall come, verse 1, and there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, David's father, and a branch out of his roots shall grow and bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Then it goes on here, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. The Spirit of the fear of the Lord came upon Jesus. So He had to have these things imparted to Him, even though He was God in the flesh. He is giving us some insight and example of how to walk. So that must mean we need that Spirit of wisdom. So when Paul is saying this, in verse 17, he says, the Father of glory, that He might grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation into what? Into the deep and intimate knowledge of Him. This is a key. So when the spirit of wisdom and understanding comes upon us, it causes us to move into an intimate relationship with the Lord in a way to understand and to know Him. That's depthless thing. There's no way you can just get it all, but it's something like, oh, it's like something. You get into a room, it just opens you up to understand and to know Him. That very understanding, that very knowing of Him brings change with inside of you. Because that's who He's after. He's after your heart. He knows that out of your heart flow what? The issues of what? Life. And so when you ask for the spirit of wisdom, and if that's granted to you, this is what it does. This is what it produces. And you know that it's real because you know that it's there. It's not something that you're reading anymore. It's not something that you're hearing about being preached to anymore. This is real stuff, the real meat that comes and just becomes part of you to know something about Him. And I know people, like if we knew that the Lord was in that room over there, everybody would want to go in there. But when you go in there and you get before Him, you just want to hear what He has to say to you, right? That desire that's in you is in every believer. But to have that intimacy, it means that you, when you get that spirit of wisdom, it's time. It's time with Him. I encourage you to take walks. I encourage you to pray in the Spirit. I encourage you just to, if you're just walking 30 minutes or an hour, whatever it might be, just taking those walks. Not only it will be good for you physically, but the praying in the Spirit and taking a walk, the intimacy that you have with God, He will speak to you. He will teach you. He will strengthen you. He will change you on the inside. He will give you solutions to the very problems that you're facing. He will give you an understanding of why things they are the way they are. He will take you and refine you and point you to the very areas because you've been crying out, God, deliver me in this. Change me in this. And He'll give you the mechanics and the power to be able to walk it out. But it comes through intimacy. You see, if you really love Him, and you do, and you really want to be Him, and if you knew He was in that room, you'd want to go in that room and see Him, would you not? You have opportunity and entrance into the very presence of God. And it's not, it's more, and yes, he's inside of you. And yes, he's everywhere. But there's a manifestation of his presence that you can experience every night. That's why Jesus, I mean, you read about it, he just withdrew. He got away from ministry to people. He just got it. And he spent the whole night with the Father on a mountain. And I guarantee you, he didn't just go up the mountain just a little bit. He had to get away from the throng. I mean, who knows? They probably were trying to find him. He probably had to work his way and get away from people. I mean, with so many kind of power coming out of him. And it said that the power of God was so strong in him and healings took place that he could no longer publicly go into a city. This is the same Jesus that's inside of you. And so he wants to have those experiences. He misses some of you. He misses your singing. He misses the times. You know, he came and says that he came and walked with Adam in the garden. Why did he do that? He loved Adam and Adam loved him. And he just, that think of the things that were communicated then. These are the things that God wants to do with you and me. He wants to have those intimate times. That God may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the deep and intimate knowledge of him. Verse 18, by having the eyes of your heart, the eyes of the heart. There are eyes of the heart. There are eyes of the heart. I had a little definition here. Inner perception, the ability to see and understand the things of the Spirit. Eyes of the heart. Now, some of you understand this. You've seen it. You've experienced it. Where you know that you have eyes in your heart. It's not how I see here. Now, I can see here and I can describe the room and I can describe the people in it and so forth. But in the heart, you can describe the things that are in the Spirit. You can describe how you can see it. And it's, when you dream at night, you see things. Sometimes you are seen in the Spirit. But your spirit, the eyes of the heart, are different than the physical eyes. It's insight. It's a knowing. It's a different type of a sight. We think about sight with our eyes, but we don't think a lot about the sight of the heart. What does it see? What does it experience? What does it know about the things of the Spirit? You see, when you seek those things and you understand those things, this is where things open up. A lot of people will see visions. But whether you see a vision or whether you see an angel or whatever, that's just part of it. What's part of it is the development of the eyes of the Spirit, which means spending time with the Lord, spending time in prayer, and engaging into the eyes of the Spirit, realizing that there's something that wants to be revealed to you. Knowing that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal things to you is exciting. A lot of people think that God just wants to punish them. Or, you know, I mean, that's why a lot of people are afraid of Christians. They're afraid of Christianity because, they don't want to be accountable to anybody. But the point is that when you recognize that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal things to you, it becomes a whole different ballgame when you pray. I mean, you know, when something happens and something exciting, you want to go back. You want to be there. You can't get enough. This is something, this is what you're really hungry for. This is that stirring inside of you that everybody's experiencing. You want some type of a spiritual experience beyond what you even know. And when you recognize and realize that it is his will to reveal to you the insights and the deep secrets and the mysteries of the presence of the Lord. He wants to reveal these things to you. It's his will. It's his way. And so when you know that and understand that, you can get into that place in prayer. And this is what happens when you get in there. What happens? What is Paul saying here? By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light. Flooded with light. The light gives direction. The light brings things to the surface. The light is flooding inside of you into the place where you can see and discern direction. Revelation. Understanding. And in that place, the prophetic really moves very, very strong. The prophetic should be moving through you and everybody, where you can see with your heart and the light comes on. And now you can realize what the Spirit of God is doing and how He is moving. And it directs you. What's so far hard sometimes for me to understand is why God wants to even use us. He doesn't need us, but He chooses this. This is His way to communicate into the earth. That was the mystery. Christ within us, Jesus, that was the mystery that the enemy never could figure out. If the Lord manifests Himself in full power, the whole world would just pop, break apart in a second. He's so powerful, so holy. Sin cannot abound in His presence. And so He's designed this in such a way that we might enter into His presence where we don't blow up. That's the eyes of the Spirit. And getting your spirit flooded with light, that is a good prayer. Flood me, Lord, with Your light. Please. I need to have some light on this situation. Let's throw some light on this situation. You know, when you're working on something or plumbing and something like that, and you're trying to get, you know, you got a clogged drain or whatever, and you got to get underneath that sink, and, you know, you're trying to move around, and you can't see. So you got to get some light there to be able to determine what is clogging this plumb, what is clogging the pipes here. Now, I had a revelation last week. I had three revelations. You want to hear them? Well, when I closed out the meeting last week, the presence of God was still here and very heavy on me. And I close up and I lock up and I went to the women's bathroom, turned the lights off, and I heard water running. You know, that's strange. You know, it sounded like a toilet. So I said, I will have revelation of what's going on with the toilet. So I go in there and the thing's running. I go, well, I've got experience on this. I've done many toilets in my life. This would be just like any other one, right? So I lift up the lid and it's running, you know, like that. So that little bulb thing sitting there. So I go to hit it and like that, bam, I get hit right in the face with water. I mean, not just a little bit. I'm talking about shooting out hard into my face. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I put the lid back on. I go, man, I turn the water off here. So I go down to turn the valve off right here. I turn that valve and bam, I got hit in the face again. I am soaked. And so I put it back on and I texted Roger, who's head over all this. I said, Roger, you got a bad toilet here. I got hit in the face twice, and it's not leaking or anything. It'll be okay. I was just letting you know. And I was warning him about it. So anyway, the next day, I have my daughter coming in town, and there's a bad toilet upstairs. So I decide, well, you know, I know how to fix toilets, and this is good. So I got my stem, came in there, and I couldn't see what was going on exactly, so I got my flashlight, determined it. Turned it off, put the stem back in, did all the work like that, and everything's fine. I follow the directions. I know what I'm doing. So anyway, I go to turn on the water. What I didn't realize, I didn't hook it back up. And so I turn that water, bam, I got hit in the face again. Now, I'm still trying to figure out what my revelation is. Is it better to be submerged or sprinkled? The Lord wants to teach us. He wants us to have a revelation. He wants us to understand that these things that are happening around in our lives sometimes mean a lot more than we know. Now, I don't have the complete understanding, except I had the revelation that water in the face will wake you up. And so what preceded that after that was the trials came out of nowhere, and they hit me in the face. One, two, three. And it woke me up just a little bit. So, you know, sometimes we have to recognize some of these things are going around us sometimes are ways that the Lord is communicating to us. Now, I've got to enter in and through prayer, and as my prayer walks and sort of like that, I start to get a little bit more insight and I got a little bit more understanding. But that is the only place that I'm going to find it, is I've got to press in. It says the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and what? And the violent take it by force. You study it out, that says press in. You got to press in sometimes. Amen? Heart flooded with light. Wow, I tend to make, yeah, I was flooded. Amen. That just jumped out at me. Wow. So that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich in his glorious inheritance in the saints. This is pertaining to your call. This revelation, being flooded with light, gives you understanding about what? About your calling. And that's something that always goes on in your walk with the Lord, is getting that revelation of your calling, which gives you direction and gives you understanding of who you are. It brings identity into your life. That's the only way to get identity. It takes the presence of God to give you your identity. It takes the presence of God to give you security. And it takes the presence of God to give you direction. You have to have that presence. And so when you ask for this and you're flooded with light, the light that comes on you gives you the understanding of who you are in him. And that brings a security, because when you know that God has pointed you and spoken to you directly in your prayers and he says who you are, that means it's done. Amen. It's done. That is something that becomes a rock inside of you. When you know who you are in the Lord, it gives you strength. It gives you ability and unlocks the door of his power within you. Because now you're operating in his will with the understanding of who you are. The apostle Paul knew who he was. He knew he was an apostle. He knew that his speeches or his ministry was not impressive. But he also knew that he didn't come with that, because that was not his. He came with a demonstration of the power of God. It says, he said sometimes, I don't need to even be where you guys are. I know in the spirit what's going on. How did he know that? Because he was an apostle. He knew how to get into that presence. He had a spirit of wisdom moving on him, and he kept an account in the spirit of those who God gave charge over them. It wasn't to rule them. He said it. I didn't come to you to rule you. I came to what? To build you up. And that is the key. That is the identification to me of Jesus, is when people are being built up and sent out to who they're to be. It's not about corralling. It's not about, okay, let's build this thing that we've got. Oh, we need more. Well, this is not impressive, but it's a gym, and you know, I'm thankful for it. I'm a coach. Look at this. I'm a coach in a gym. He could have put me anywhere, but he put me in a gym. And he put you in a gym. He put you in a gym tonight to work out, to strengthen who you are, to give you purpose and identity, to not let you go out of here wondering, who am I? Who am I? The world is searching for their identities. They're trying to find it in so many different things. But your life, you are light. You're evidence that there is God. Because when you walk, it's something, you can't fake this stuff, saints. You know, people come in and, you know, we can come into a church and I can be a certain way and I can look so holier than thou art. You can fake it, but you can't fake this. And people will see it on you, because the Lord Jesus himself will manifest in ways through you. You won't even be aware of it. And when you go shopping or you go here or you go there and you have that kind of revelation going on inside of you, you have an awareness of people that you didn't have before. It's not just going in the store and getting taco seasoning. It's going into Kroger's to hunt. This guy was on the phone. It was on the phone. He was on those buds or whatever. And he's sitting there talking. And I'm sitting there. I'm just waiting for him to get off. And I didn't know if he was off. I said, "You off the phone?" He goes, "No, I'm on the phone." So I just have to tell you this. Lord told me to tell you, da-da-da-da. He's like, "I received that. I received that." I said like three or four times, and I go, "Good. I mean, that's good. Praise God. Go on your way. I mean, I'm just a delivery boy. Now, he knew it was from the Lord because he didn't know me. I mean, but you know what? Step out. I need to step out more. It encouraged me. I'm thankful for that. It brought some fulfillment in my life. It's not something that I need to go around and brag about. It's something I'm telling you that if you'll step out, he'll be there. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be a prophet or whatever, or you don't have to be an apostle. You have to be Jesus, who can be anything at any time, moving through you at any gift that he chooses, the Holy Spirit does, to use you for. When you make yourself available and you want it, you go on your prayer walk, you got light flooded on you, which gives you an identity with your calling. You know who you are in the Lord. And when you walk around, you realize you are carrying the very presence of the Almighty God. You are the modern day ark. It doesn't build you up in the sense it makes you puffed up. But what it does is it gives you a responsibility to walk around and let that stuff go. Just walk around knowing you're just contaminating people. Is that the Lord calling somebody?
No.
It's okay. Well, I won't take a hammer to it tonight. Amen. So let's move on here. Verse 19. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. The immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing power of God. Unlimited. Unmeasurable. You can't measure it. There's no way to measure it. That's what talked about Jesus. Okay, he only spoke the words of Father that the Spirit of God was giving him without measure. And we read that and we think, well, that was just him. Well, he's inside of you and me. He is without measure. There's no measure to what he can do through you and through me. You know, I so many times when I'd be in another country or whatever, and I'd be in the pool or whatever, and it's a world competition, and I would always have these thoughts, if I could just go out in the middle of that pool right now, if you just would let me walk on the water out there, I'd go out there and give a good message. Let's go out there and touch that water. Is it there? I mean, I know that sounds crazy. Maybe I was a little crazy, but that's just the kind of stuff I think about. I mean, why not? I mean, Lord, you walked on water. You're inside of me. You can walk on water. But we don't put God to a foolish test. I mean, if I got out there, take a step, I might just go down in there. But you know what? I think he gets a kick out of me just thinking about it. We need to expand our thinking just a little bit more, because these things that Jesus did, he superseded natural laws. The laws of the Spirit, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto him. And he is inside of you and me. He can supersede. When we pray for somebody and somebody's healed, it isn't us. It's the power within us that does the work. Amen? The scripture says that our weapons of warfare are mighty at pulling down strongholds. When you get into prayer and you get into this walk, the Lord will show you strongholds that you can pull down. Because the light is flooded, the revelation is there, the Holy Spirit is directing, and now he releases him through your mouth. That's where it's at. This is the potential of the body of Christ. This is what we're to do in these last days. Greater work shall he do. Why? Because he went to the Father. If there was a tornado coming at you straight down, what would you do? You would probably maybe run for cover, but I would hope before you do that, you would try speaking to it and command it to stop. Why not try? If somebody's sick, I mean, that's just a little thing. Wow, I can pray for the sick. Do you really expect them to recover? Yeah. I wasn't going to ask you guys. I know what you're going to say, but no, I'm serious. But you develop that expectation. You started out, whatever. And it started to happen. You have expectation. So, you know, that's but you got to try. Why not? Why not try? Why not see if there's a word inside of your mouth for somebody tomorrow? As I say this, just give you a little bit of insight. You're going to have that thought tomorrow. You're going to look at somebody and you're going to have that thought. Are you going to step out? I don't know what to say. Just take a step. This guy that I came across, I mean, I've had some experience in this. I understand that I've got a little experience, but it's always the same. One word comes, he's going to have a breakthrough. I'm bringing a breakthrough. That's all I heard. And so when I came up to, I mean, that's how I started. It was just one word. Hey, you're going to get a breakthrough. God told me to tell you you're going to get a breakthrough. I could have walked away right then. You have to open your mouth and he will fill it. People think that when this thing moves and the way the Lord moves, that I have got complete information in my brain. I am not that smart, okay? I'm just not. And a lot of you, I forget, you know, that I even minister to somebody in 1 week. I'm just not that way. But I do trust and I do believe that if I will open my mouth, he will fill it. He will do it. I trust him. I have great confidence in that process. And you can have the same thing go on in your life. There's no reason why you can't have that going on. But you got to step out. Amen? And so that you can know, and you can understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who what? Who believe. As demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. You know, it's one thing we see how he has worked on us and how he's changed us. But with the eyes of the heart, you can see the working out of his mighty strength. That is the discernment that comes through having your heart eyes open. You can actually know and have insight through that of the working of his power and mighty strength. In that sight, in that light brings information and discernment of what may be wrong or what the problem might be. But in that same light, you can see how God is going to move, how he is going to work to change it. And in that same process, you will be empowered through the working of his might, empowered to be able to step out, lay hands, speak, just pray for them or whatever it might be. That's the discernment, the three levels that you've got to move in. And it works every time. Every time. Why in the world would the Lord put something in you to do to see if he wasn't going to do it? Amen. If he wasn't going to work it out. He doesn't tease us like that. So, in saying that, you have what it takes to be able to walk this out that I shared tonight. It's everybody. This is for everybody. You can take this word tonight has gone so deep inside of your spirit that you can teach it tomorrow. Because he's given you understanding. The anointing has dropped this in so deep into your hearts that you can literally teach it and walk it out. If you want it, if you really, really want it, if you really want the Lord God to move through you, some of you, your families are counting on you right now. It doesn't look like that, but they're counting on you. And you can break through those things, those walls that have been there for years. And you think there is no hope because they're going completely the other way. It's all about the party, isn't it?
It used to be.
I'm not talking about you. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you that you got delivered out there from the party. There's nothing wrong with the party as long as the party doesn't have you, right? Amen. God, so good. Thank you, Jesus. So good. Praise you. My sister in the back there in the what color shirt is kind of an orangish, maybe a little orange in there. Amen. God is so good. Yeah. I just want to encourage you. I just really think the Lord is really doing a work inside of you. He's made you hungry. You know, I'm saying, you ever be hungry for something, you know, just hungry for the things of God and hungry for something new, you know. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes you get tired of the same food over and over again, but I'm just hungry for something new. And I just want to encourage you, you're about to have some new experiences in the Lord. Revelation and understanding that you haven't had before. Demonstrations of His power around you that only you can explain that it had to be God. You know what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes I never forget when I first got introduced to a Spirit-filled church. I went to it and everybody's raising their hands and people are like that. I'm like, oh my God, these people are so holy. And I'm just like, I'm me, you know, and people come up, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that. And I'm saying, oh my God, didn't talk to me. You know, you know, I was really kind of taken back, you know, and I thought, man, these people are really holy. But then I got to know them, you know. I realized that wasn't really the way that it is. But there's a purity that God has worked out in your life already. I mean, it says to create within me a clean heart. There's a purity that you walk in. There's a reverence that you walk. There's a reverence for the things of God inside of you, and you walk that out over and over and over again. And so, you know, when you walk with the Lord that way, He comes and He says, you know what? I'm going to take you to a new place. I'm going to give you new food. I'm going to bring a light inside of you, and I'm going to light this thing on fire. Now, the thing is that, you know, sometimes when we're on fire, people around us aren't on fire. And that can be hard sometimes, because sometimes we want everybody to experience the same fire that we have. And we kind of look at us, you know, man, I wish you would just come to church, or you would just, you know what I'm saying? It's not a bad thing. But it's just they're not experiencing what you're experiencing. God is going to give you the prayer and then the insight to intercede and see these people catch on fire around you. Because God wants to light some fires. And you are like a butane lighter, man. I tell you, you can come in and you can light things up, okay? And because you can do it in a way, because God has given you a word inside of you that is easy to digest. And sometimes, you know, when I coached, I would say things that person right there, they couldn't digest it because it came at me like a hammer. You know what I mean? And I had to really learn to let the Holy Spirit change the way I presented the information that was to help that individual. And this is where the Holy Spirit has been working on you for a while to be able to deliver a word where someone can receive it. That's why you're cautious in how you say things. There's a little, like a hesitation before you speak, and you're learning in a greater way to hear the Holy Spirit and to be more strategic. And that's something that's a thought process people say, but no, it's actually the Spirit of God moving through you. So I just want to encourage you, the words of knowledge, and you've had them before, are going to come more like a river. God is opening up the floodgates to you tonight, okay? He is opening up the floodgates that the words of knowledge would flow more like a river. They'll be very specific in nature. You won't like be able to process it like I'm telling you. I have no idea what I'm saying to you exactly, except that I know that it's the Lord, and I know that He's going to do it, so I got to release it, okay? So you do the same thing, and you're going to see God really inspire you to be able to move through on that. And don't look for you're never going to find the perfect church, by the way. Just not. Because you're just not. See, Lord got my mouth there. I don't know if Charles is making me quiet or what. I don't know, you just don't talk anymore, Todd. Amen, God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. I know there's more people in here. I kind of hit you already in some ways. Amen. I just want to encourage you. You know, the thing is, you have a real ability to be able to spot a fake. You know, when somebody is not right, it's a discernment inside you, but the Lord is going to take that discernment. I talked about getting into the Spirit. The discerning of spirits operates in your ministry. You're going to know the true from the fakes. You're going to know when people are lying to you or to somebody else, or they're lying on TV or whatever. You're going to be able to spot it from a mile away, okay? That's that God has trained you in that over years. But that information that you get when somebody's lying, how to deal with it, that's the next step. How do I deal with that? You see, when you have inside information that God gives you in that gift, it moves a lot of times into dreams. And the dreams give you the information of what you're actually fighting in the spirit. And when that information comes, it gives you the ability to be able to hit it. And that's what's going on. Am I right? Okay, so I just want to encourage you in that, okay? Paul talked about, I don't just beat the air. He's giving you specifics on how to war and defeat these demonic spirits. Because they've captivated people. That's where people get into addictions and things like that. And you've asked the Lord over and over and over again. You've knocked and knocked and knocked, and tonight God has given it to you. He's answered you. He's given you the ability in the spirit to defeat these things. Your weapons of warfare are not carnal. They're mighty in pulling down those strongholds. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against something that's behind the situation. Amen? Amen. God is so good. I just could never see you partying. I just couldn't imagine it. Trust me, I do. I see that. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Kathy and Charles, why don't you come up here? I think maybe you guys might have something. If you don't, that's okay. I mean, don't be afraid now. Amen. Don't be bashful, Charles. I know you're not bashful, but you know, sometimes you got to bring them along, you know? Amen. God is so good. Amen.
She did walk behind me that time.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. Amen. Amen. My sister back, I don't even know if I minister because I forget things, you know what I'm saying? But I just want to give you a word of encouragement. Amen. Can I do that? Amen. God is so good. You know, I don't know if you're a teacher. I see a teacher inside of you. Amen. I see things that God will come out of your mouth and they'll be very, very easy to remember. You know, some people have a lot of words. Your words will be right straight to the heart of a matter over and over again. Correction is a teaching. And so God is using you as a corrector, as one that brings exhortations. Now, I would not want to be exhorted by you because I could not escape it. I would not want you mad at me because I could never win that argument, amen? Because there's a power behind what you do, amen? And don't back off from it. And don't worry about whether the person receives something or not. It doesn't matter. Deliver the goods, walk away. It's not even personal. Amen? Because what you have to deliver is like a seed. It will go down into these individuals and it will convict them. Not that you're trying to convict them. The Holy Spirit is the one that convicts. But the words and the seeds that you send will bring conviction. And when the Holy Spirit convicts, He changes people. He calls them to account, but He also strengthens them and changes them by the Spirit, just like He changes us. He conforms them into the image of Jesus because internally they're actually crying out for a change. But you will be the catalyst. So don't be afraid. The Lord is on you in a very heavy way. I mean, He really is. And the oppression that comes upon your mind at times, tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, I break the power of that thing. Amen? And you have to understand, because of your call, you're going to get resistance. And when the accuser comes in our life, he tries to take that mirror and so that we look at ourselves, and he tries to get us to drink out of our own reflection. And that spirit is being destroyed over you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's because of the call on your life. Hey, I know exactly. I know exactly what that's like. Amen. So I just want to encourage you. You are mighty in the name of Jesus Christ. You really, really are. And you've got a wealth of knowledge. You know, I just see this knowledge inside you kind of been stored up. It's like you read the word and, man, it's just like you're tanked up with it. It's like you've got a lot inside of you, and God's going to give you an opportunity to release it, you know. But, you know, think about the prophetic ministry and prophetic mantles is that, unfortunately, we're called to confront at times. And it's difficult, you know. I spent 40 years of confronting 20-year-olds, so... Yeah, you know I'm saying they're difficult because they're hard to, you know, step here. Let me talk to you. But people are like that. Amen. God's so good.
I'll say the Lord has been created a storehouse in you over the years. A little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. It's given you a lot of answers to situations that people run into. And it's going to fill up your storehouse. It's going to be using you more and more. And you're going to be drawn from that storehouse. Someone's going to come up and they're going to be in a situation. You don't know what the answer is. You don't know how to do it. So you won't be afraid to seek out what the Lord is giving you, and you're going to be very confident in what you're saying because you've got the word that they need to go further on and not to get stuck in these ditches, but to get themselves up and get on about business. And so I just think the Lord's been building up the store after many years, and this will start pulling on more and more.
Boy, what the Lord is doing. The Lord is taking you to places that are going to surprise you. He's got a plan, he's got a purpose for you, far beyond what you've allowed yourself to believe. You've been held back from believing how you are living about the work of the Lord. He's got big plans for you, he's got excited about you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that prophecy. It's for edification, exhortation, comfort. And so I realize that sometimes when I'm prophesying to an individual, it's building them up. It's helping to live out here. What's the word, by the way, that has to do with edification? Is a word about buildings. Actually, it comes from a word about building a building. And the Lord is building a building with you, and then you break under you. You have shortened yourself on believing what the God, what the Lord wants to do for you, what He will do for you. You are, and I'm saying this, this is just my word, trying to be word for us. So you're coming out of your shell. It's bringing you out in a mighty way, in a glorious way. You're going to find, the word that comes back, I've thought of this a long time, it's an old King James phrase. The string of your tongue is going to be loosened. It's going to be loosened. You're going to be able to speak. You're going to be surprised at yourself. You're going to be surprised at your longing and desire to speak. And just like I was saying earlier, the spirit of wisdom and revelation is going to become so real to you. And as you're out and about it, you're going to think you're going to see people, and you're going to realize, I know what to say. I know what the issue is. I know what the problem is. And like God has said, you're going to find the strength of your tongue loose, and you're going to be able to go up to people and say, you know, I think the Lord wants me to tell you something. You're going to be able to speak the word of the Lord that's going to set them free and going to do amazing things with them. Now, I see like a, cautious about using this word when I'm talking to a female. But I see a birth, and I'm talking about a birth in the spirit. The Lord is producing something in you, and it's going to come forth, and it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be wonderful, and it's going to be a blessing to you. And as a result, you're going to get the blessing in others.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I see like a stream of praise and worship on you, and that's where your strength is, and that's where your power is. You're going to have people to come to you with maybe even a serious illness or something. You're going to find yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And people are going to be healed as a result of the praise and worship that's going to come to you. So cut loose. Don't hold back and cut loose. They may think you're crazy. You may think you're crazy. But it gets the job done. That's where your strength and your power is, in that praise and worship. Be very vocal about it. Be very loud about it. Just, don't hold back. Express that. God is able to solve any situation that comes up. And that's where your strength, that's where your knowledge is, that's where your faith is. God is able. The Bible says Abraham was strong in faith, believing that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Not that he would perform, but he was able to perform. And he was strong in faith because he believed God was able. Sometimes we think faith is believing that God is going to do something. But the great faith is believing God is able to do so. What he does is like the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. And they told the kids that our God will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, I'm not going to bow down to you. You know, and so we know God is able, and so we are strong in faith like Abraham was. And that's where you're sent, that you're strong in faith, because you have no doubt that God can do it. Amen.
Amen. My sister here, the word beautiful just came into my spirit. I was sitting there over there, and the Lord told me to tell you that you're beautiful. Amen? And you need to hear that, because everything that has come against you is to beat you down. Amen? And try to get you not to understand that. Okay? And God told me to tell you that. He sent me over here and said, tell her that she is beautiful. He has created you. He knew you before you were even born. Amen? He knew you were going to walk through this. He knew that you're going to walk through fire, but I want to tell you, sister, you're going to come out this other end of this fire, not just refined, not just restored, but you're going to come through with an understanding of who he is inside of you and that he has made you absolutely stunning, beautiful. Amen? Because it's the inward adornment, okay, that the enemy has been after in your life. He has tried to beat you down and to make you think something, but he is a liar from the beginning. And not every thought that you've had in your life is your thought. He has attacked you in such a way where he is masking you think that those are your thoughts. He's masking himself. That he's trying to make you think those are your thoughts, but they're not your thoughts. He is a liar from the beginning, and you know when something comes against you from here in the future, if anything comes into your mind that tries to put you down or to make you think less of yourself, just know where the origin of that thought is. It does not come from the throne room of God. It comes from the throne room of lies. Because God sent me personally to you. He brought me down from Cincinnati, Ohio back in 1982 for you.
Amen.
To deliver this word to you and to say it will be okay. God is going to deliver you. You're going to get on the other side of this. He's going to strengthen you tonight. You're going to leave here and say, man, how in the world did that guy even know that? Okay? He sent me here for you. Amen. God is so good. Now, when you get through that, you are going to be such an encourager. I don't know if you've ever wanted to be a counselor or if you've ever wanted to be in position to help other people out, but I want to tell you something, sister. That is your gifting. You will speak and you will encourage people and you will strengthen them. And you will take them by the hand and say, this is what God has done for me, and he will do it for you. And when you pray for them, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. Just the fact that you take the time to pray for them and just the fact that you took the time to listen to them, you set them free. And you've already been doing that in a small way. But God is going to increase the preparations of your heart. And you're going to be touched by the Holy Spirit tonight in a special way. If I were you, I would look forward to going to sleep tonight. Amen? Because when you go to sleep tonight, you're going to sleep like a baby. And you're going to experience the peace of God in a way that you've never known before. And you're going to, man, I love that. I'm going to enjoy going to sleep. Because, see, the thing about it is, the reason why you're going to be asleep is because you're going to be at peace. You see what I'm saying? That was a personal message from the throne room of God to you. Personal. I mean, think about that. It's incredible. Amen. God is so good. Thank you for coming tonight. Amen. God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. Brenda, Brenda, Brenda. Amen. And Brenda, Brenda, Brenda. Now, you knew you weren't going to get out of here without getting a word, right? Amen. But Charles has got one for you first, and I'll follow up.
Put on the running shoes, Brenda. Put on the running shoes. God's got something he wants you to do. You're going to be surprised how swiftly it comes to pass. You're going to be surprised at how the Lord is going to speak to you.
Prophesy.
He's going to speak to you in the night. It's incredible. You're going to have visions. You're going to have dreams. The Lord is going to come to you.
I don't know what.
Come up here.
and you're going to have to take some effort, and you're going to have to step out by faith, that you're going to be able to go up to the next level that the Lord is calling you to. And I see, I don't mean to see this type of thing, but I see deliverance. I see a ministry of deliverance. I see you being able to speak to people and then get delivered from the things that the enemy has been trying to do in their life. I see you being able to speak a word in season that will set the captives free. And there will be great joy in the house. There will be great peace. There will be a moving of the Spirit, and it shall stir things up. And there shall be even like whirlwinds moving in your life, and in your heart, and in your thinking, and in your dreams, and in your life. You shall be picked up at times, as it were, by the whirlwind of God, and you shall be taken to other levels, and God shall download things to you, and reveal things to you, and speak things to you, that you're going to be able to use to unlock the things in the lives of others that need to be unlocked.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So good. Do you need to follow up on that, or?
No, okay. We're supposed to start praying at 8:45.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is so good. I have a word of healing for you. I just have been sitting in my spirit, and the word acceptance came into my heart when I was sitting over there, and the Lord is going to, you're going to be accepted. That's all I got to say. And tears, there's tears inside of you. I see you crying on your bed at times because you so desperately want to be accepted. Now, this is not a negative acceptance. This is an acceptance because you love. You've loved people, and you've given this, and you've given out. You've given when you didn't even have it, you gave it. And you just want a little bit of feed. You just want a little bit. You know, it says in the Word, you reap what you sow. Amen. You're about to reap acceptance. Now, you're always accepted here, by the way. You don't have to even work for that. You don't even have to try here, okay? You don't have to try. You're loved. I mean, you walk in love, you're loved. The word he gave you was just love. Just love pouring out. So you need some love, you show up here, we'll give you some love, amen? But I just want to tell you that acceptance is necessary because the Lord says he wants to heal you of that. And just know that's the healing balm of the Lord. Do an internal work inside of you and drying up the tears of your heart because you can't hide it from him. Amen? You know that. And he's heard your cry, okay? And just know this. I see the ministry and stuff that he shared, I completely just confirm all that. I know that about you in the natural, but I'm just saying this is important for you to have those experiences and where the acceptance of the Lord, when you come into the house of the Lord, when the head of the church is actually a manifestation, the acceptance will be there, and people are going to pull on the giftings that God has placed inside of you that's been sitting there for years. If just would have given the open door, if there just would have been an opportunity, it just would have come up, and instead of getting the talk to the hand, you're going to get the hand where God's going to pull you in acceptance, and he's going to bring you into that room. And at first, when you're in that room, you're going to go, I don't know how to act. I don't know how, I can't, oh, this love is, I don't know how to act. And that's okay. You get a little bit of experience of just being in the room, but the door is open to you, and God, no one can shut this door. God's opened that door. Amen. 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 I'm stealing all his words, just FYI. Amen.
Is there someone here that needs healing from the backache?
Backache? I think there is. Who is that? Oh, back there, you need healing from the back?
Well, it's a very low back.
It's a very low back?
I fell, I slipped.
Mm-hmm.
I slipped in the rain,
mm-hmm.
on the steps and slammed like full force. I'm just right above my head.
Okay. All right, sister, you got the word of knowledge. Go lay hands on it. Terry, you go back there, and Robert, amen. Amen. You have a word? Did she steal your word too?
One more.
Okay, go ahead.
This sister right here, I'm going to tell you a quick story. Many years ago, we were talking about 50 years or so ago, I suppose. I mean, over late, I got to know her real well all the time.
She told me about that when she was first married. Her husband, you know, we left her in a little house way out in the country. Didn't leave her any food, didn't leave her any money. She didn't have a car, she didn't have a phone. She couldn't get anywhere. Nobody came to see her. She had small children. She was worried to death. And she told her about how she was laying down, but she was worried that the wind was blowing in the window and the curtains were moved. And she said it was as if the Lord was saying, don't do that, I love you. Don't do that, I love you. And the reason I'm telling you all that is because you've been beating yourself up for too long. You've been listening to those things of the past for too long. And the Lord has come tonight to deliver you from that and to heal you from that. And for you to feel that fresh breeze of the Holy Spirit blowing in and hear His voice loving you say, don't do that. I love you. Don't do that. I love you. He's healing you this night. You will never, if I have heard from the Lord, and I believe I have, you will never be the same. Because the Lord has showed you you have been healed in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I think I've got, you got one? Amen. My sister here, I want to give you a word of encouragement. Amen. God is so good. I was sitting there over there. I had this picture. This is kind of strange, but I had this picture of you riding this bike and going down this, like a slide thing, and going right in the water. And just, I mean, just having a great time. And you got back up and you did it again and again and again. And each time you did it, man, you just were having a great time. I was enjoying watching you. Amen. The Lord is doing a work in you where you are going to laugh and you're going to enjoy and you're going to know that you are completely free. Amen. Because it's exactly what I saw. It's like you just had this smile on your face. Remind me of my son, you know, and my daughter, you know, and the slip and slides and all those things. I mean, there's something that God is going to restore in your life. Even when you were a child, there's a restoration. And that restoration is going to bring you into laughter and joy. And all those things that were stolen from you, they're going to be returned to you in the name of Jesus Christ. He loves you so much. He loves you. And it wasn't your fault. Do you hear that? It wasn't your fault. Stop blaming yourself. Amen. Because the thing, there are unseen things that affect people and affect us. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was teaching out of Job and how Satan came to God and said, God permitted him or allowed him to do certain things, and Job and the devil controlled people to attack Job. He controlled, and people were controlled around you. They didn't know what they were doing. And that's the forgiveness that you've got to step up. And you do forgive people. You're not one. You don't like holding grudges. You're not very good at it. And, it hurts you. So I'm just going to let it go. And if people do something, you know, we just kind of let slide off your back. You know what I'm saying? But in this area of forgiveness, is God's going to take you to a different level where you're completely free, you know, from things that people have said in your past. It's like you hear, it's like they're almost, they said it yesterday. It keeps coming up and coming up and coming up. And it's not that you didn't forgive them. It's the enemy's trying to torment you with it, okay? But you have forgiven them from your heart. You are set free tonight. You are set free tonight to go down that slide, to have a good time, and to have expectations of future things in your life that are coming your way. I mean, it's almost like I see you graduating. I don't know what you do for a living. I don't know if you're in education or whatever, but you're going to graduate. I mean, you're going to think, I have graduated, and I'm never going back there. I'm going here, okay? And God is going to meet the desires of your heart. I don't know if you're married, if you're a seeking husband, or whatever it might be, okay? But God said He will meet your needs. If you put that desire in your life, then that will happen, amen? And a good man in Jesus' name, amen? One that loves God and loves you and knows who He is in Jesus, amen? God is so good. Would you like that, or?
Yeah.
Okay. God, remember, Lord gives you beyond what you could ask or think. So that will be the identification. Amen. just know this, you're being prepared for someone and someone is being prepared for you, okay? And God's going to bring that to pass. He's going to do it. He loves you so much. He really, really does. He brought me from Cincinnati to talk to you tonight too, amen? Amen. It's a good thing to come out of the northern people, right? Are you from the north? Oh gosh, well, we all can't be perfect, can we? No, I'm just kidding. Anything? No. We good? Okay. Amen. Well, if you got a word tonight, and by all means, we're not done. If you just want to dismiss everybody, if you need prayer, I'm going to be up here for a while, okay? I'll be praying for our kid. It doesn't matter, so there's still more to happen. But if you need to get a copy of these words, just go to our website, tgosc.com. Just remember the gathering of southcarolina.com, but just use the letters tgosc.com. It's hard for me to remember that. And they get posted every week, and sometimes it takes a couple days for Lewis to get them up because he has to edit everything, but they're there. And you want to get them because it's important that you hear those words. I've got my words back from 1980s. And I got them a little cassette tape. I don't listen all the time, but I like to pull them out because they're nice just to hear and see how God brought those things to pass. Amen? I said, Lord, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight, Lord. I just ask you to continue to water the seeds tonight, Lord, of what we shared. Lord, I release Psalm 91 over each and every vessel here tonight, Lord. I ask you to commission your war angels to surround and protect them. Fill them up to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And I just bind the powers of darkness away from them in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's so weird you say it, because that's what I think about every time I see those things.
Trouble with triples.